Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Mixon's Mill.
It would be a little weird. What's in Mixon's Mill? Do they have a mill there?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I know that Mixon's Mill is also known as Maned, which has a very Arabic look to it. I got to be honest with you. Is there a strong Lebanese community there, perhaps? I don't know.
All right, I got to look this up.
We're in Nick Griffin country.
In Forest County?
Perry.
Okay. But it's in Forest County, right? Isn't that Forest County?
No, it's in Perry County.
Is it Perry County?
Yeah.
Okay, what am I thinking?
Okay. I don't know.
I'm wrong. I mean,
Nick Griffin is the head coach at his alma mater.
At Perry, yeah. For some reason, I was thinking Forest County. I don't know why I was thinking that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, I want to find out what's in Mixon's Mill to call it a mill. Is it a cotton mill? Is it
got to be right? Is this part of the country? The odds of it being a flour mill seem low.
Well, in Kemper County, I think they have like an old mill that is like it makes grits and stuff like that. Like so, Siple's Mill, I think is what it's called. I went there once. Really cool.
I don't know.
You never been to Siple's Mill, huh?
I have never.
They make like they have like you should I go like out grits, there. It's though. A really cool place. It's been there for a long, long time, and they made for years like cornmeal, grits, like stuff like that. Is really
hey, check that out. That is cool.
Yeah, really cool place.
All right, wherever you are in our great state, whatever mill you're working at, you can be enjoying Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever it takes to get customers in the front door, Pip Printing and Signs has a solution for you. And if you're a Mississippi State fan who owns a business, you just can't beat this deal. You're already spending money on printing. You can become a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra dime. It's just a click away. You just got to talk to our friend Cam Baker, 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about this on Thunder and Lightning, and you want to give your business to Pip Printing and Signs. 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. You're now a Bulldog Initiative business, and it didn't cost you any more money than you're already spending on printing month to month. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. You know, any day can be Father's Day. You don't have to wait till once a year to tell dad you love him or even tell mom. Mom, it can be Mother's Day with a purchase from College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Florida by the Half Shell, or you can always just shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you're a lunch person, if you're a lunchman, you need to be at Restaurant Tyler, the best blue plate in the city of Starkville, maybe in the state of Mississippi. Great choices for meats and veggies, great cornbread. And if you're not a blue plate person, they got a lot of great sandwiches and entrees there for you to choose from. You're going to have a great lunch every single time. When you want to have a great lunch in Starkville, the place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll give you the location nearest you. But more importantly, they're going to show you how they're going to handle your money at Priority One Bank. It's not just about checking and savings accounts there. It's a lot more than that. You've done the hard work. You've made the money. Let Priority One Bank help you manage it, and they can certainly do that. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Today is Rumblings Wednesday, and so, of course, that's brought to you by our good friends over at Superior Catfish, the Superior Catfish Catfish Tour. Superior Catfish Catfish Tour. Continues this week in Boyle, Mississippi at the Catfish Cabin. Robbie and I will be there on Friday, June 21st, starting around lunchtime, around 11 a.m., and we're going to have a podcast there for you. But you can enjoy Superior Catfish any day of the week. Check your local grocers, check your favorite catfish houses, and if they're not selling Superior Catfish, ask them why. Ask them to get it in, because there's two kinds of catfish. There's catfish, and then there's Superior Catfish.
Yeah, I cannot wait for Friday to eat some of that.
I got ahead of you today, I got to be honest with you.
You already had some?
I went to Obie's today.
Oh.
I was craving it.
How dare you.
I need some catfish today.
Just a few days removed from eating it, you were back.
That gives you an idea of how good it is. That I was, you know, I ate it 4 days ago, and I'm like, I need to go back.
So. Let's agree. That's a big agree.
All right. Let's jump in. Our first question comes to us from John. With the recent passing of Jerry West, is it worth bringing up the fact that there a better nickname in sports than the logo? That is a fantastic nickname. The fact that Jerry West is the logo, by the way, incredibly an underrated thing. Like, he is.
They never changed it. Like, it was never Jordan, and it was never Kobe.
Yeah. They've talked about that. They've talked about making it Jordan or making it Curry, LeBron, whoever. It's just stay with Jerry West.
Do I know who it is?
Yeah, you know who that's supposed to be?
No.
Yeah, that's Harmon Killebrew. So that's another one that's been there for a long time.
Interesting. Well, here's the thing. Like, Jordan has the Jordan brand logo, which to me is
it's more iconic. Yeah.
It might be even more iconic than the NBA logo. So I'm okay with keeping it what it is, but it is still pretty insane that it's been that for that long, you know?
Yeah. It's a great nickname.
And why Jerry West?
I mean, I guess at the time when they came with that, he might have been the best player in the league.
Yeah, but, like, was there not greater players before him that they could have chosen?
Before him, sure. I mean, they could have gone with Russell or Cousy, I guess. Maybe George Mikan. But I guess at that moment in time, he was the best guy. He was the top guy in the league, so that's who they went with. I'm not going to argue with it. Just more proof of Laker dominance and Laker exceptionalism. Steve Moore,
you're wearing your Boston Celtics green today.
Oh God, I didn't even think about that. I gotta get out of here. I gotta go change. I can't have this.
That's absolutely Celtic green too.
It absolutely is. I didn't even consider it when I put the shirt on. Damn it. I gotta get out of here. I hope we get wrapped up in time for me to go home and change. I'm not wearing the shirt on the air. I absolutely will not. Steve Moorman. As you said last week, State at Texas will be Texas's first SEC game. So Jeff Lebby put Jackie Sherrill on the sideline as an honorary coach after castrating another bull pregame to show the team how steers are made. So when we were at Obie's on Thursday last week, Matt Caldwell, our friend, former MSU offensive lineman who was on that 92 team, said that when we get to Texas week, he wants to come on and tell the story of the bull. So we will definitely make that happen. I think it's a great idea, though. Drive the Longhorn fans crazy to see Jackie Sherrill on the sidelines.
And like, what does he have to lose now? It would be bad press, I guess, for Mississippi State.
Oh, definitely don't. No. I wouldn't do another bull. No, I wouldn't do that, but I would definitely have Coach Sherrill on the sidelines as an honorary.
Telling the story or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Now that the EA Sports NCAA 25 is about to come out, what is one thing you know won't be on it that you would like to add? I'm requesting an AI voice of Jack Crystal on the call for State. If that was on it, take my money now. It would be cool if you could somehow get like that would be a lot of work and a lot of money to pay out, but to have like the voices of each school. And obviously with Jack Crystal, it wouldn't be possible. But even if you could just have Neil Price, that would be cool.
I think
– what's something on there?
I believe that they don't have actual head coaches on this.
That's what you were saying, yeah.
I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's something that I want on the game. I want the head coaches on there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they can't, but – That would be one of my main ones. And also, I think they need to do a NIL thing where you have certain funds at your school, and maybe they utilize that next time around. But you have certain funds at your school, and once you're out of NIL money, you're out. You have to spend it, you know, how you think you need to spend it on the transfer portal and retaining the roster. I think that would make it much more competitive on that game.
Agreed. Let's see here. Dogs win again, asks. My son and I listen to y'all every day. He's now 13, and I have shown him how to keep up with recruiting. We enjoy the Cruton song and have debated over whose voice it is. Can you please settle this debate and let us know who and where the song came from? That's me. That is me singing on the Cruton song. It's over the music on the background is called Jerry's Breakdown. It's Jerry Reed and Chet Atkins off a YouTube clip that I found. I just thought it was, I thought this would be a fun. I like this. And it's just me singing. Okay.
Yeah. And it's what, like 10 years old?
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing it for a long time. I remember like showing it to Bob Karskad, and I was like, I have an idea. I was like, what if every time State got a commitment, we had a song that played? And he's like, okay. And I was like, and this is what I came up with. And I thought he was going to pee in his pants first time he heard it.
I remember the first time I was listening to the B&B show at the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time y'all did that. And I was like, what the heck is this?
I got a text from Brad Locke that day. He's like, I'm dying laughing at it. Because he's the guy who always said Cruton. He always referred to it as Cruton. So I was like, I just sort of went with that. So I guess I did the voice wrong. I heard this song today. It's incredible.
DBL,
Lockdown Corner, Bulldog Sports Radio.
I spent some time with Brad not too long ago at the baseball state championships, and we were talking about the old times.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the whole Dan Mullen incident where he's like, all right, I'll just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys don't have any real questions. He's like, well, these are real questions, Dan.
So one of my favorite videos on Twitter is Brad is driving somewhere in Tupelo, and he's passing the Florida bus when they were on their way to Oxford a couple years back when Mullen was still the coach. And so, like, he's recording himself as he's driving. He's like, stop the bus. I got questions. Dan. Dan, is Marcus Green okay?
One of the things that I talked about to him is, like, that was a policy when Dan said it was a policy.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes he would openly talk about injuries, and he would let you ask questions about injuries. And then other times he would say, no, we have a strict policy against asking questions.
He just that day he wasn't feeling it, and he decided to go that route. It happens.
Oh, my gosh.
Dylan Newell, who would win the Mississippi State Home Run Derby, Jordan Hines, Rooker, Palmeiro, or Clark? First off, we're putting Castoria in here. That's happening. He's gonna be part of this. In just the home run derby, we're talking about where they're throwing BP, Palmeiro is probably winning.
In their prime.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're probably right. I mean, that's
a good group, by the way.
300 home runs, 500 home runs. How many?
He's in 500.
500?
Yeah.
That's a lot of home runs in the MLB. I'd probably pick Palmeiro too.
I mean, let me double check that I'm right. I think he's 3,000 hits, 500.
Palmeiro is probably who I'd take in a hitting contest.
I would take Will Clark in a hitting contest.
Yeah. He has the best swing, but I mean, Palmeiro is a 3,000 hit guy.
3,000 hits, 500 home runs. Would have been an easy Hall of Famer if not for all that crap. Pisses me off still.
Yeah, if he wasn't involved in the steroid thing, he would have been a first ballot.
We've already been in. Yeah. Yeah. Kyle Wilson, what three chain restaurants would you like to see come to Starkville? People, you know, I think so often people talk about restaurants coming to Starkville and we're like, we want to get this and this. And like sometimes, you know, a chain restaurant is just a good option. Like
it is.
You know, like I think Walk-On's is a good option for Mississippi State. I thought that was a good option for Starkville. I like to get a Chipotle. So
Outback Steakhouse.
Five Guys is my number one. I would like a Five Guys here in this town. I like Five Guys burgers.
Yeah.
Outback would be fantastic. But if we had a chain steakhouse, Outback, Longhorn, Texas Roadhouse, I would take one. That would be great to have.
Yes.
And then
I love Longhorn. I go to the one in Columbus a lot.
Yeah, Longhorn's good.
I love Longhorn.
Tupelo.
Anybody that craps on like Chili's, Longhorn, like places like that, like they're just trying to be cooler than they really are.
Yeah,
those places are good.
So then, what's our third choice? Are we going to Olive Garden? Do we want Italian, or do we want?
I love Olive Garden. Endless breadsticks and salad.
Would you rather have? So let's. Do you want Olive Garden, or do we want to go Asian? And do you want P.F. Chang's?
I want Olive Garden.
Olive Garden. All right. So Olive Garden, Five Guys, and then some chain steakhouse. We'll take whatever you give us.
I would take Ichiban over P.F. Chang's.
Well, that's not really a national chain though. It's kind of local.
Is it?
I mean, they just have a couple down in Jackson.
It's a chain.
It's not a chain like Olive Garden is a chain. There's not Ichiban locations in every state.
All right, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. I just typed in Ichiban. There's one in Tupelo, so it's definitely a chain.
Is it owned by the same? It's not owned by the same people, is it? Ichiban is just like a common Japanese word, like steak. Doesn't Ichiban mean like thank you or something?
I don't know, but there's a billion of them. All I'm saying is there's several of these restaurants. It's a chain. We're not going to do the such and such a but like such the one, and such a fast food restaurant. Is this
the one in Jackson is a Chinese buffet. The one in Tupelo is a Japanese steakhouse. It's two different cultures.
That's not two different. Oh, I guess it is Japanese and Chinese. Yeah. Why is one Ichiban? Why are they both Ichiban?
I don't know, man, because it's a catchy word.
Okay. Well, I want an Ichiban buffet.
See, okay. I can get behind that. That's fine. All right. Rob Hadaway, which MSU alternate universe are you most interested in visiting? MSU hires Steve Spurrier in 1986. Mullen stays one more year. MSU never recruits Renardo Sidney. MSU doesn't rehire Ron Polk. These are all choices. So if they don't rehire Ron Polk, do I not Spurrier?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like he would have been hampered by Larry Templeton. He would have probably still left for Florida when he did.
Maybe, but you still get some good years there in the late 80s that you didn't really have. Go hire Jackie Sherrill.
Yeah. The not hiring Polk again is an interesting one. Because then you're probably hiring Paul Maneri at that time.
You think that's who they would have gotten?
He openly campaigned for the job.
Yeah, he loved his trip.
He loved his time here. So, yeah, that would be an interesting one. The Renardo – these are all very interesting. Just
not bringing back Paul, you would have kind of kept things going.
Yeah, instead I think of if you bring in Maneri right then, yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't terrible they weren't great in his first few years. They just got really bad, like in 08.
You know what's interesting to think about that, too? If Maneri comes in the way he recruited versus the way Polk recruited, does Ole Miss ever happen? Like, does Maneri get Stephen Head and some of those guys?
Well, another one was the my mind's gone blank. The guy that went to Southern Miss that played for the Twins.
Matt Wallner?
No. This was like 2000.
Oh, Brian Dozier.
He would have come to Mississippi State. Polk didn't really recruit him, I don't think.
Yeah, so that's a good one.
He would have had that guy. I mean,
I would love to have seen the 2018 football team with Dan Mullen still in place, too. I think I don't know if they would have played for a national title, but they would have been in a big time bowl game.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They would have won 10 regular season games.
Yeah. Rob Hadaway, do you think squirrels ever die of natural causes at a ripe old squirrel age? Have you ever just seen a dead squirrel? I mean, that wasn't hit by a car?
Like one that just went and died?
Yeah, it's like, what happened to that squirrel? It's dead. I don't know that they ever have.
Because they probably go like in the woods somewhere like cats.
Yeah, that's a good point. Last one from Rob. Do people who may or may not host this podcast think David Lee Roth's last name is Lee Roth instead of just Roth, just because the brother's actual Dutch last name was Van Halen? Maybe? Perhaps?
Have you called him Lee Roth before?
I have. I have called him Lee Roth, yeah. Yeah. It never actually occurred to me until now that his last name is just Roth. He's
Mr.
David
Lee Roth.
Lee Roth.
David Lee.
I'll be damned. It never occurred to me that his last name was Lee Roth.
It's okay, like, so here's my question. What context was this used in where you called him Lee Roth?
I think I've just said, do you prefer Van Halen with Hagar or Lee Roth?
Oh, okay, yeah. Because I've always called him just David Lee Roth.
Like, yeah, that's the issue.
He's just DLR. Like, he's DLR. He's always David Lee Roth.
Yeah, you're right.
I never call him Roth or
Damn
Lee
you,
Roth.
Rob. Damn you.
Nothing gets past him. He actually told me he was going to post this.
Wow.
And he said he's been sitting on this for a long time. Like, he's ready.
I hear you. Well, it happens. Colton Watson, grade State's baseball portal performance so far as best you can. I mean, they've only got three guys. They haven't got a pitcher in yet. I mean, at best, it's like a C-, D.
Yeah, it's definitely one that I'm looking at right now. I'm like, if this is all they get, it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just part of the puzzle and they're getting other pieces, then it could be really good. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very much incomplete.
None of the three that they've gotten right now do I look at and I say, this is a major get.
Yeah.
I think they're good pieces, but they've got to go out and get some other big pieces to go with it. So right now it's incomplete.
Also from Colton, I swear that 5 years ago, State didn't commit this many unranked prospects. Either the industry isn't getting guys evaluated as efficiently as before, or State's recruiting isn't what it was 5 years ago. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is it's on the recruiting industry, 10 it's on Mississippi State taking a step back in recruiting. What number best describes the difference between now and 5 years ago? I think it's, I'm not saying it's ineptitude, but like, the national guys don't get, if you don't camp at an elite camp, the national guys don't really see you. So a lot of these guys at State's recruiting might be really good players, but they haven't camped anywhere. They just don't know them. It's not like anybody's going through high school film.
It's also still June.
Yeah.
I haven't gone back and looked at a lot of the other classes, but I imagine there were several guys that committed during the summer that Mississippi State got that were unranked or that were, mid-level 3 stars that got better. I just think that – I also think that the industry has gotten to the point now where people are not spending a lot of money going out and looking at players at camps, things like that. I just think a lot of people are just kind of sitting in the office nowadays as opposed to going to a lot of these team camps or getting information from people. Their mind is elsewhere, and that's – I'm not saying that they're not working hard, but they're just working on other things. They're going to Elite 11. They're going to 7-on-7 camps. They're not seeing everybody, or at least not talking enough to people that have seen them.
Yeah. Reed Green asked us to rank these helmets. Florida State, Florida, USC, Ohio State with the Buckeye leaves, and LSU. The problem with Ohio State is if you take off the stickers, it's just a silver helmet.
Yeah.
So they're last, in my opinion. I think the Florida State one with the spear is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then USC with the Trojan head, 2. LSU and Florida are just the names of the teams, but LSU does have the Tiger on there. So I'll go LSU 3, Florida 4, and then, as we said, Ohio State last.
If we did like full uniforms, I would have Florida and LSU at the top.
Yeah.
Because the color scheme is so great.
It has worked, yeah. All right. Also from Reed, do either of you have a dark horse to make the new 12-team playoff this season? You got to really stretch to find a dark horse.
My dark horse would be, like, if they don't take 5 SEC teams, the 5th SEC team.
Yeah.
Like, if they're just going to take 4. Yeah.
Yeah. The other one could be, like, is there a second
Big 12? Or if it's like Missouri or Ole Miss is on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah, whoever that 5th team is.
I don't really know if that would really be considered a dark horse.
Right. The other side of that is there a second Big 12 or ACC team that could make it beyond the champion? Like, if you think, I think Utah is going to win the Big 12. Could Kansas State go 10-2 and make it in? Florida State will probably win the ACC. Could Clemson go 10-2 and make the playoff? That's the question.
Okay, so they're going to have the SEC champion, ACC champion, Big 12, and Big 10 are certainly going to have playoff teams.
Right.
and then you'll probably have the best group of five team.
Well, you definitely will. That's part of it. Yeah.
That's five.
Right.
And then the other seven is just going to be a collection of probably the rest of your.
You could have four SEC teams in that next group. And then at least probably two more.
So that would be three. Teams. So then you're looking at one more ACC team, like you said.
One more ACC or Big 12 team could make it.
So could it be a third team from the ACC, like you say, or I doubt it.
A second team from the ACC. Because
you would have an ACC champ and maybe the second ACC team.
But who's that going to be? Yeah, I mean, I don't know that that's going to be the case.
Clemson or Florida State.
Yeah, but Clemson right now, I mean, I don't know that Clemson's going to be a 10-2 kind of team.
I don't know, but they've hung around that when they haven't.
We'll see, but that would be, that's why I would say they would be a dark horse. I think right now the ACC is probably a one-bid league.
Possibly.
I think you have a much better chance to get a second
ACC champion. Like if Florida State did what they did last year, they're in the playoff, no doubt.
Well, they'll be one of the top four seeds. The conference champs are automatically,
If you have a one or two loss ACC team, could they get in?
That's what the dark horse would be. Exactly. All right, we'll do one more here, then we'll go to the break. All right, here we go. Dalton Lee. Imagine this. A coworker of mine was talking about the shark attacks in Florida this past week. He is convinced he could fight a shark and win, which led to the pictures attached. Where on this scale do you think you would fare? So,
it's got the guy that fought the kangaroo for his dog.
Yeah. I think I could take a kangaroo. I don't think I could beat him.
He popped that kangaroo in the face, and the kangaroo was kind of stunned.
The kangaroo was like, wait a minute.
I don't know if you could take a kangaroo if it was like,
it was really mad
pissed off.
6% of Americans think they could beat a grizzly bear in a fight. 6% of Americans are stupid.
Nobody in America could beat a grizzly bear in a fight.
On the other side of that, I could not beat a rat because I'm scared of rats and I would just run away.
I would just stomp on the rat. Yeah. I would kick a cat.
Who thinks they could beat an eagle in a fight? Eagles can fly. They're going to just talon the hell out of you.
I would just throw a punch and say, if you hit it in the face, if you land it, it's dead.
Yeah. The eagles have razor sharp talons.
That's correct. A large dog, you can scare a dog away.
You can kick a dog in the face. Man, a chimpanzee will mess you up.
Oh, yeah.
They will mess you up. King Cobra, the problem with the Cobra is if it gets one bite in, the fight's over. You've been poisoned.
I think, if I was wearing boots or something, I could just stomp on a Cobra.
Yeah, but you better be quick. So, who thinks they could beat a crocodile?
Happy Gilmore? I don't know.
I guess, yeah. And then you got on this next one. Which animals win in a fight?
8% of the people think they can beat up an elephant
and
a lion?
You've got over here, you've got 74% in a head-to-head match. Which animal would win in a fight in a series of head-to-head matchups? Oh, okay. So the elephant and the rhinoceros win 74% of the time. Komodo dragon. Those are something you don't want to mess with. They will mess you up. As far as polar bear is not ahead of grizzly bear.
Look at the goose.
A goose will mess you up, man. Nobody wants to fight a goose. What animal could you beat in a fight? Compared to women, men feel most able to take on medium-sized dogs and geese. All right.
Those things get so mad, man. If you ever go to Lake Tiakata,
oh yeah.
If you don't bring them food, they start chasing you.
Yeah. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So make sure you are doing that. I saw our good friend Malcolm Reed's most recent video of these garlic butter.
Our good friend? Is he friends with us?
Let's just pretend that he is.
Okay.
I mean, I'd like to be his good friend.
I know you would.
The first step to becoming a good friend with someone is to say that you're good friends.
That's correct.
And sometimes I'll just be like, are we friends? I guess we're friends. And then you're friends. Yeah. So
It's like, you know, Josh Pate is our good friend.
Our good friend, Josh Pate. He was on with us just the other day. As I was saying, though, garlic butter filet mignon. It looked incredible. That's definitely a recipe I need to duplicate very soon. And so do you. So, this weekend, head to the grocery store, pick up some steaks, throw them on the grill. Everybody's happy. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the our good friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place for smoked Southern soul food. It's the place in town that I'm sending everybody I can. Nobody who's come to Starkville and asked for my restaurant recommendations hasn't gotten told, go to Two Brothers. I tell you every time, and I have not yet gotten the phone call telling me, hey, what happened? That place was terrible. It's never going to happen. Everybody is always happy when they go to Two Brothers. And if you haven't yet, please check out the older brother over at the old Two Brothers location on Rue de Grand Fromage and enjoy a fancy sandwich. Enjoy the best French fries I've ever had. Enjoy a restaurant that would fit right in the city of New Orleans. Wherever you go in the Cotton District, if it's the Two Brothers or the older brother, you're going to have a great time. Great products, great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it now for 49 years. Give them a call if you need technology for your business, and then if something goes wrong, you call the same number. You talk to the same people. They fix it, a lot of times, the same day. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. If you're in Mississippi, you need to talk to Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the game this fall, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to go. They have a great selection, stuff you can't find anywhere else. They've got all the logos that you want. They've got all the name brands that you want. And if you're looking for stuff for the house, for the car, for the tailgate, they've got that there. They've got that as well. They're also the exclusive provider for the Bulldog Initiative. So if you want to wear the polos you're seeing the coaches wear all the time, Maroon & Co. is the only place to get it. Shop at Maroon & Co. before you go to the games this fall. Zach asked us, from this list of domestic terrorists, who had the most detrimental effect on their respective programs? Sylvester Croom, Rick Ray, Peter Sermon, Zach Arnett, Joe Moorhead, Scott Foxhall. That's a tough list. So I think with Sermon, you can't say that he's the answer. Yeah, that was an awful season, but they got rid of him after 1 year, and they were good the next year. I think you could sort of say the same thing about Arnett, right? Like, they'll be better next year. Ray, Croom, Foxhall, multiple years. Foxhall, went from national champion to the worst team in the conference in 1 year.
I think Foxhall might be my answer.
Okay.
Croom, I'm not even including on this.
Okay.
Because when he arrived,
it didn't go from good to bad. It was already bad, and it just stayed bad.
Well, I could live with that. He left the program in significantly better shape than when he got there.
I agree with that.
I don't think he did.
Not from a wins and losses standpoint, but just from a personnel standpoint.
Well, it was better in wins and losses. He went from he inherited a team that had three straight seasons where they won, three or four games, mm-hmm. and he actually went to a bowl game. And had he not had the injuries that he had in 2008, he probably would have won five, maybe six, I don't know. But the program as a whole was significantly better, I think, when he left than when he took over. Because you remember how big of a mess it was in 2003.
It was. What about Rick Ray?
He's not on there. Rick Ray, it was in pretty bad shape when he took over, but he never
got it going.
Showed any signs of life.
There's something to be said for the fact that Rick Ray just wasn't ready to be the head coach of a major. I mean, he wasn't even the top assistant at Clemson when he got the job. And I feel like he was kind of a panic hire by Scott Strickland there. I think Foxhall's the correct answer because they were the national champions, and then they were the worst team in the conference.
Yeah, there was no rhyme or reason as to why they should have stopped.
The pitching stats from 2 years ago, literally anybody in the country could have been the pitching coach and probably been better. And when I say literally anybody in the country, I'm including everybody listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
So, I don't have a problem with that. He was right. For Brian, early predictions for the Saints. Robbie, early predictions for the Steelers. Why don't you go first?
I'm so hesitant on this because the Steelers have just been slightly better than Jeff Fisher's Titans.
Mm.
Like you knew Jeff Fisher was going to go like 7-9, 8-8 or whatever. you know, every single year the Steelers are going to be somewhere around, you know, 8, 9, 10 wins or something, and they're going to get ousted in the first or second round. They just, for whatever reason, they haven't been able to get to the AFC Championship consistently, and if they do get there, they're getting beat. It's just I don't get my hopes up with them, but I want to see a little bit of Russell Wilson and what he looks like in this offense and what this offense looks like with the new offensive coordinator first. But, I mean, I think they'll be competitive in the division. Probably 10 or 11 wins would be, like, high end for me, I think.
Okay.
Maybe a playoff win or two.
All right. For me, I'd like to get back into the playoffs. They missed it out by, a game last year. I feel like with Kubiak coming in as the offensive coordinator, they should be better offensively. It's, you know, but Carr is just – I'm not a big fan. And I don't know that Rattler is going to be the answer long-term either. I expect the Saints to try to get into the free agent market for a quarterback if they can. I don't know if they can or not. But the division is still pretty weak. I know the Falcons should be better. The Buccaneers are okay. The Panthers are still awful. So can they get that third wild card? That would be a good start for me for the Saints this year. Wade Jones, is your yearly internal clock January through December, or is it stuck in school time, August through July? It's 100% January through December because of sports. Like, uh-huh. I keep the sports calendar. So,
yeah, it's changed a little bit for me because in the summer, I've got my daughter at home every day, and it's just it just wears me out, man. Like, it's just like all day parenting. She can do a lot of stuff herself, but like right now I'm kind of keeping my ears open to see if she's put like aluminum foil in the microwave or something. You know, it's just, you never know. She's very independent, and she started using the microwave and warming stuff up. And the other day, like, she put like ketchup in there or something, and I saved it just in time, but like I never know.
Where are we? Missy Nations asks, in the same vein as Les Miles versus LSU, if you could sue Mississippi State for anything, what would it be and why? There'd be a lot of emotional damages. I know that. There would be some. If I was going to sue for anything,
you would sue Larry Templeton.
I would. I'd sue him into the Stone Age. There'd be nothing left. But what am I suing him for? Just general ineptitude.
You made me sad, angry.
Yeah, emotional distress. Yeah, I'm with you. Brogan Fairchild, what movie traumatized you as a kid? You got one?
Traumatized, like that would mean like I can't watch it anymore. Or like what?
I mean,
what
it's
we...
like it really messed you up.
You know, the made for TV It movie it kind of freaked me out when I was a kid. Okay. But it didn't really traumatize me in the sense that, like, you know, I was scarred for life.
Mm-hmm.
I actually enjoyed it more, but it was pretty scary.
So, this movie is not a scary movie, but the end of Return of the Jedi, when Darth Vader takes the helmet off, that freaked me out. Like, his face just freaked me out. So that would be one. And then not a movie, but I was, as a kid, I was scared of the Incredible Hulk. Like, on the TV show, when he would change, freaked me out big time.
Yeah.
That's what I would go with. Also, do you remember V? The show V? I mean, some way before you, a little before your time, but have you ever heard of it?
No, I don't think so.
So it was about, like, aliens show up, and at first you think they seem friendly, but you find out they're not, and they're actually lizard people. And, like, they would, like, put their hand in their face and pull off their skin, and there'd be scales underneath it. That messed with me when I was a kid. Yeah.
So. I also got freaked out by Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay. Also from
which, if you watch those back now, they're incredibly cheesy.
Yes.
It's Canadian actors in most of them, things like that. So it's pretty cheesy. But at the time when you're a kid, there was some stuff in there that really freaked me out.
Yeah. Also from Brogan, what banned wrestling move would you like to see make a return? How many wrestling moves are banned nowadays?
I don't know. A lot of them come back. Like
they're doing Canadian Destroyers again. And
Canadian Destroyers are like, I mean, they're not even a
pile driver
move anymore.
Yeah.
Pile driver. They stopped the curb stomp, I think, at one point. Now it's back.
It's back now. Yeah. So I don't know.
Do they call it that? Yeah. I know too.
It's called the stomp.
Like, yeah. Like they can't say curb stomp.
I
guess.
Curb stomp. Yeah. Jay in Baltimore. Only a few
if
days.
You don't want to see what an actual curb stomp looks like. Do not watch American History X.
Or that one episode of The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. The guy was threatening Meadow or something.
Great. He had that coming. Jay in Baltimore, only a few days into Euro 24. Overall thoughts on the tournament and who is your sleeper and winner picks? Go ahead, Robbie.
I'm going to defer to you on this one, I think.
You sure?
Yeah, I think I'm good.
I mean, it's fun. I'm enjoying it. France will probably win it. But Germany's not a sleeper. They're the host, and they're a really, really good team. But on the international stage, they have not been great over the last couple competitions. So keep an eye on the Germans. I think they're starting to figure some things out.
Always keep an eye on the Germans.
You really should. Jackson Waddell, should success for MSU football be measured qualitatively instead of quantitatively this season? Absolutely. It should be like Mullen's first year. You should be like, look, they're clearly a lot better than they were a season ago. They're obviously better coached. They're bringing it together. The wins will come. That's how you have to look at this season.
But that's not going to happen, is it?
Probably. Well, it would in a vacuum, but too many people are going to see Ole Miss get out to like a 7-0 start and be like, and State's going to be 3-3, and you're going to be like, I just don't know what's going on. Like, it has literally nothing to do with each other. But
yeah, that's going to be it's going to be a lot of stress for Mississippi State fans this year because this team's going to be kind of building, mm-hmm. and Ole Miss is already there, and people are not going to be able to take that.
Agreed. Jackson Waddell, I'm watching Game of Thrones for the first time. I'm halfway through season 7. Should I brace for disappointment? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not as down on this series and the ending as you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the perfect ending. I don't think it was a great ending. The last few episodes were not, you know, exceptional.
Right.
But I still enjoyed it. I'm actually watching it back, and also simultaneously I'm watching House of the Dragon back.
House of the Dragon came back on.
Yeah,
this past
I haven't seen the first episode of the second season yet. I'm on episode 6 of the first season. I'm rewatching it.
Oh, I gave House of the Dragon a try, and I could not get into it. Maybe I should try again.
I don't know how.
Like
there's
about
a lot
six,
of the same.
There's just so many characters. I was like, I don't care about any of these people. I just
but
don't.
It's just it's just the Targaryens basically. I mean,
yeah, but like the other houses.
They introduced some of those, but it's built around the Targaryen family.
Right, no, I know. I watched 6-7 episodes of it. I was just like, I just was bored with it. I was like,
well, one of the things about it is it's not as action packed as Game of Thrones. There's not as much war and fighting, but the dramatics of it is still there. Like you still get caught up in the drama of it all.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just like a chess game. It's all about like who's going to be the heir and things like that.
Right.
It's an interesting story. I enjoy it. I feel like it's still kind of weird to me though. Like I get caught up in it sometimes. I'm like, wait, we're like encouraging like incest here.
Yes, that is happening.
And like they're trying to find Viserys's like new wife like for the queen, and he's like courting a 12-year-old.
Yes.
And he actually, you know, ends up marrying his daughter's best friend. Like,
yes.
It's that kind of stuff is a little iffy for me. But it, all in all,
there's some of that
show,
in Game of Thrones too. I mean, you find
there's not some of it. There's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it. Yeah. So yeah.
What you have to realize though too is like they did that. They thought that's what they were supposed to do. You got to keep it in the family. You got to keep the blood, strong or whatever. They just it just wasn't, you know, frowned upon like it is now, I guess.
Chilton Nations ask us, is the fact that Jim Harbaugh had more career rushing yards than Bo Jackson a glitch in the Matrix? Absolutely. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
That's one of the craziest stats out there. Playballer DC asks, the year is 2030. Which schools are these men the head coaches of, if any? Lane Kiffin, Zach Arnett, Dan Mullen, Jimbo Fisher, Kalen DeBoer. Only two of these guys will be head coaches at this time, Kiffin and DeBoer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fisher's
Zach Arnett, done. Fisher's Zach Arnett
not.
May be, no. Well, somebody will give him.
If it is, it's going to be a small school. It's going to be like when Les Miles went to Kansas.
Or like Bobby Petrino.
He could be like Jimbo Fisher could be like the head coach at like Boston College or Maryland or something like that.
Yeah.
And he'll be terrible there.
I just don't know if Arnett, you know, it's still kind of premature, but I don't know if he's head coach material after kind of what we saw with him, how he handled the media and like handling the day-to-day operations. I just don't know if that's
overwhelmed him. Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know if he's built for that. I think he's just a guy that he's focused on. He needs to be focused on, you know, his group. He's really good at being a defensive coordinator. He's good at that kind of stuff. I just don't know if he's a guy that can run an entire program. We certainly didn't see it with Mississippi State.
Yeah. I think Kiffin and DeBoer will still be good. I don't know that DeBoer will still be at Alabama. He may have taken a step back. He might have gone back out to the West Coast. He could be at USC or something like that. I think he's a really, really good coach, but I just don't know that he's going to win at the rate Alabama is going to demand of him.
Yeah, can they take 6 years of him being like in the playoffs?
Yeah,
like
10-2,
times?
9-3 kind of years.
Yeah.
And then Kiffin, I'm gonna throw one at you here. In 2030, so 6 years from now, Kiffin's the head coach at LSU.
Interesting.
I don't know if Brian Kelly's ever gonna get them to the point where they want. It's sort of the same thing, right? Where you're like, are they okay going 9-3, 10-2 every year, but not winning the national title?
I listened to T-Bob on the show the other day that when you had him, it was kind of interesting where he said like LSU's expect – what did he say exactly? Like,
it's about winning that game.
He doesn't believe that they're a team that is a national title contender
this year,
every year.
Yeah.
Or like every year. Like,
he doesn't think they can be a year-in, year-out national title contender.
Yeah.
Which
that
is
was interesting to me. I mean,
yeah. You won't hear that from a lot of LSU people.
That's coming from a tried and true, full-blooded LSU guy.
Yeah, I agree. Ford Polk, our reaction on Uncle Howdy's return. I watched it. I don't know. I always the supernatural things that that wrestling tries to do from time to time nowadays. It's like it's just 1990 anymore. Like,
was that really supernatural though? That gave me kind of like the Purge vibes.
I see what you're getting at, but like. The whole, like, I don't know. I see it more as, like, the same thing they do with Bray, where it's just, like, you know, does he have some powers or something? I don't know.
The production part of it was awesome.
Was awesome.
Like, that nobody can touch WWE.
No, they're doing some incredible stuff. Ever since they got
that
rid
whole
of
thing,
Kevin Dunn, they figured it out. The camera shots are incredible.
They go back and they take you into, in that video, they take you into Gorilla where Triple H and all them were, and they had wiped out Gorilla.
They've all been laid out, yeah.
So I love that in that they're basically taking over that group is taking over the company or something.
Yeah.
That would be a really cool
storyline. I'm at the point where it's like, I need to see who these people are. I want to see them without the masks.
Well, one of them, the girl, I think, was Nikki Cross.
I believe you're correct.
I haven't looked at everybody else, but
I think Dexter Loomis is in there. I think Eric Rowan.
Uncle Howdy.
Huh?
Bo Dallas is Uncle Howdy.
I think Eric Rowan is in there, and maybe there's another guy in there who I forget, but so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Mangum Cafe, how good was the 2013 baseball team on Vine? I wish they would have had today's social media. They would have been incredible on TikTok. Just absolute monsters.
And like the two that were the most underrated on there was Jacob Robson and what was the other Canadian guy? Kyle Hahn. Yeah, those two were the most underrated Vine guys.
Yeah.
They started the Vine stuff like in the SEC tournament, I think, and it got rolling from there. But yeah, that group was that was the best thing that John Cohen did that year is let them just kind of let loose.
Yeah.
like, he let that team just be themselves. And the next 2 years, they got right back to being, you know, overcomplicated and thinking too much.
Yeah. What is the greatest anticipation of a concert? The announcement, the first song, your favorite song, or the encore? I'm going to say it's none of the above. Almost every band these days plays a cover. I always am interested to know, what is this huge band going to play? Like, when I went to see Foo Fighters, they didn't actually play a cover, but they teased like three of them, and it was just cool. They teased Enter Sandman. They teased Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, and there was another one that they teased, I forget. And it was Whip It, because their drummer used to be in Devo. And so,
really? That's the new drummer?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Devo's had a bunch of drummers. It's not like he's the original drummer.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I thought that's something I always look forward to. But that being said, I always am interested to know what they lead with, too. Like, what's the first song?
Yeah, I always like them coming out. Like, that's probably my most anticipated moment is them making their appearance for the first time and you being able to see them, you know, for the first time.
Yeah. What are a few of your guilty pleasure songs? Do you have one? Yeah, one you want to throw out?
Guilty pleasure. You know, like maybe like a Miley Cyrus or like Olivia Rodrigo song or something like that.
Those are fine choices.
Just like one of those come on the radio, I'm going to stop and listen to them.
Yeah. I have a couple of Kelly Clarkson songs on the Spotify.
Oh, yeah. Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone.
Yeah, I have that, and I have Because of You.
That's a good song.
I love Escapade by Janet Jackson.
Nice.
Like that song. And one of my favorite bands, I'm not making this up, Roxette. I love Roxette. Yes. Great band.
Yes.
So I will jam out on some Roxette. All right, last one from Philip Carroll. A humble ask, would y'all consider making it a mission of Thunder and Lightning to correct the injustice that is the NCAA not including pre-2002 bowl stats in seasons and career totals? Y'all have the pull to make this happen. Okay. If not,
we have the pull to change an NCAA like stat.
Apparently, that's what he says. I don't think we have that pull, but I will definitely agree that it's weird. Like, it doesn't make sense that prior to 2002, what you did in a bowl game did not go on your career stats. I mean, I never understood that. Never.
So that happened before 2002?
They changed it in 2002, where if you went to a bowl game, those numbers went on your stats. Prior to that,
no clue.
Yeah, prior to that, so like, let's say, I don't know who the all-time leading rusher in the SEC, I guess it's Herschel Walker, right? Maybe not be anymore, but whatever he did in the bowl games is not on his career totals.
Wow. I have no idea.
It's dumb. It's so stupid, but that's the NCAA.
Chris Jans is wearing an interlocking shirt at his introduction to students at orientation.
Very good. We're getting there. We're getting there.
I've also seen him in a Walking Bully shirt, too.
He knows.
And we know he wears state script all the time.
He knows what's up. All right. Tomorrow's show, I know we've got some interviews lined up. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do it. Plus, we got some recruiting. We got more recruiting news to catch up on. The commitments just keep flying in. So we'll do all that tomorrow for you as well. Don't forget, on Friday in Boyle, Mississippi, please come and join us if you're in the Delta at the Catfish Cabin for the Thunder and Lightning Superior Catfish Tour. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.